God of healing, God of infinite love, give us faith for our journey together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The last few weeks have taken us on quite the journey. Floods, the making of great nations, the Ten Commandments, and today, snakes. We have heard of Jesus' journey and temptation in the wilderness. We have encountered the feelings of disappointment and anger of Jesus, of his disciples, and perhaps even our own as we have been confronted with our own temptations, our own wilderness experiences, as we journey to the cross with Jesus this Lenten season. This morning's readings bring us face to face with the issues of life and death. We hear another story of the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. They are tired and grumpy. This is not what they expected after they were freed from captivity in Egypt. Like so many of us with high expectations in a similar situation, they moan and groan and complain about what they have to eat and drink, about the poor conditions along the way. Most of all, they're unhappy with their leader, Moses, and they have no problem saying as much. And God hears the cry of the Israelites and responds, "You think this is bad?" Before they know it, they are confronted by snakes that bite at them, making some of them sick and even killing them. The Israelites, as a community, not just as individuals, they lost their ability to count their blessings, to see gifts right in front of them. The pain of their long-term and very real debilitating circumstances clouded their memory of the faithfulness and steadfastness of God's love. And it's only once many of them die that as a community, they begin to awaken to God right there with them, offering them care and healing. If you're anything like me, though, there's a discomfort in hearing these texts, these biblical stories from the Old Testament that reveal a God that is judgmental and vengeful. It contradicts everything we believe in and confess as people informed not only by the God of the Old Testament, but informed also by the New Testament. But what seems key to this passage is that the Israelites become impatient on their journey. And impatience comes down to expectations. Their expectations for what would happen, that their lives would look like once they left Egypt. Now, I have said this before many times, maybe not here yet, but I'll say it again. We're not that much different from our Hebrew ancestors. We too wander in the wilderness. And as we wander, we also get impatient about things. I mean, I know I do. We get impatient about not seeing or getting immediate results, not getting our way. We get impatient about misunderstanding a situation, thinking that we know better. We get impatient when circumstances are out of our control, and we just get impatient waiting. Aren't we right there alongside those brothers and sisters wandering in some future direction? And what happens when we get impatient? Well, one option is we complain. And that's exactly what is happening here in this text. The Israelites lose their patience with Moses and against God, and they begin to voice their critiques. We all get impatient. We all care about things, but let's be clear. The sin of the Israelites here is not that they get impatient. Their sin is that they do not trust in God. This is not the kind of story that we want to hear. It doesn't make us feel good, but we are impatient people, and we sin by speaking against God both in what we say and do and by what we fail to say and do. For the ways in which we speak of others and the ways in which we treat others. This is one of the main reasons we as a community, and with Charlene's help and leadership, thought that Lent was the perfect time and place to examine what we think about ourselves and others in our world by engaging in our Machozen Challenge speaker series. This past week, we welcomed Elizabeth May, leader of the federal Green Party, to St. Mary's, and it was wonderful. She came to speak to us on women's rights, and we as a congregation challenged the community of Machozen and beyond to reflect on the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and its 70th anniversary of its signing. Now, I know many of you expressed your delight in hearing Elizabeth, but I was delighted by her inspiring talk, and it was the first time that I'd heard her speak freely on her political advocacy and her human rights work from the perspective of her faith. And one of the people present asked her the question, Elizabeth, how do you teach, inform, advocate for human and environmental rights and women's rights without feeling a sense of depression and overwhelm, without feeling that all is beyond help? And Elizabeth said, well, I thank God for my faith, because I need my faith to get things done. She said, faith is hope with its sleeves rolled up, ready to get to work. And it made me think of something Martin Luther once said, if the world were to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree. In other words, just trust God. We have snakes that bite at us too. Not real live snakes, of course, but snakes that are just as irritating, just as painful, and just as death-dealing as the snakes we hear about today. It's no mistake that this text was chosen to appear during the season of Lent, and at this particular point during Lent, in this intentional time that we set aside to contemplate Jesus' journey to the cross. The Israelites, after all of their complaints and moaning and groaning and declaring that they'd be better off in the hands of their captors in Egypt than with Moses, experienced the wrath of God. Suddenly, in a dire situation, they go to Moses and repent for their complaining and their misdeeds. They not only confess what they have done, but they beg that Moses would intercede on their behalf and ask Yahweh to take away the snakes from them. It is the law, the judgment that the Israelites experience that drives them to repent and to seek forgiveness. But the snakes and the punishment and the judgment is not the end of the story. It's not even close to being the end of the story. For the story turns to God instructing Moses to make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. Through this act, God forgives the Israelites for their sin of speaking against God, but also for future sin as well. The serpent of bronze is not meant to be an idol, but rather a symbol of God's presence amongst the Israelite people. The Israelites were upset because they felt alone on their journey. But God is in the wilderness, wandering alongside the Israelites, and doesn't leave. And God is intent on providing healing for God's people. In fact, God so loved the world that God sent his only son to a people that God calls beloved, who was also lifted up on a cross, that the world might have healing and live in a way beyond all those limited expectations that we can have as human beings. The bronze serpent is a reminder that God never abandons God's people. No, God does great things for us. Even though we get impatient and complain, and when we choose our own ways and agendas, when we fail to listen to one another, when we fail to live for each other, when we are more interested with the destination than the journey. Now, if you're here today and you've ever lost patience with someone, if your soul feels lost due to sorrow and suffering, if you're wrestling with confusion or hatred in your life, whether it is with God or with a spouse or parent or child or friend or institution, look up. As the friendly giant used to say, look way up. And trust that if you are stumbling in a wilderness filled with snakes, that is your life, know that Jesus walks with you, not removing either the snakes or the wilderness. That was never the promise. But healing is the promise. And healing comes not always in the ways that we expect it. So is there a place of brokenness you are living with right now that might hold a particular invitation for you during this season of Lent? A step towards wholeness that might not make sense to others, but helps open you to the healing that God desires. When we are sick and dying from snake bites, from our disappointments, our anger, or our impatience, it is in these very places that we encounter God. It is here that we encounter and are provided with that which is life-giving rather than death-dealing. It is this God who loves the world so much, the whole complaining and kvetching lot of us, that God gives up God's own Son on a cross so that the world may have life. It is this cross that we come to with our burdens, our fears, and our sin when we confess and seek forgiveness for new life. We come to God as individuals. We come to God at the foot of the cross together as the people of St. Mary's, as the people of God. It is here at the foot of the cross that we are reminded that sin and death don't have the final word in our lives, but instead it is God's life-giving presence, this life and this love beyond measure that gives us strength to move forward in the midst of wilderness and change. May God continue to strengthen us together for the journey. Amen.